Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. If you were to check out my nightstand at home, you would find what I call an ambitious stack of nonfiction. Big, serious tomes that I've been meaning to get to all summer, but I have not yet. You know, it's the kind of books you want to get to, but I need a nice block of relaxed time like Labor Day weekend. For many, that's the opportunity to relax, enjoy a good book, maybe two books. If you're really greedy, maybe three. So before we say goodbye to the warm days of summer, what are you reading? What's the one book you've read this summer that you'd like to suggest to others for this final summer weekend? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So with us in Studio 3 is author Jennifer DeLeon. She edited the anthology Wise Latinas, Writers on Higher Education. She's an English professor at Framingham State University and a writing instructor at Grub Street. Jen, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us is Nick Petrolakis. He's the assistant manager of Brookline Booksmith. Nick, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So my nightstand, you both kind of smiled at that. Does everyone have this problem? There's too many good books, not enough time? Nick.
Absolutely. Thankfully, I'm a new transplant from the Bay Area here, so there are no earthquakes here, because if there were an earthquake, you would find my entire family buried under the deluge.
Oh, so, of books, you mean, falling over. I was not sure where you were going with that at first, Nick, but we got there. Jen, how about you? Do you have a big stack of your own at home?
Absolutely. And you can see my husband's stack is neatly piled, and mine is just like, like a bomb went off. Like books halved, random bookmarks, folded pages.
The
whole thing.
All right. So before we get to specific suggestions, which we will do, many of them actually, what makes a good end of summer read, Jen?
Oh, my goodness. I'm reading year round, so I always am thinking about what makes a good book. But there's something about the end of the summer where you feel like you're just inhaling your last big breath before the push of the fall. So there's I love a long story, you know, a novel or a memoir. It's not the time of year where I'm thinking so much about essays or stories. I just want to do a deep last dive into a long story, close the book, and then I can begin in September.
All right. So, Nick, what are you seeing at Brookline Booksmith? Is there a particular kind of trend you're seeing in what people are buying this summer or usually buy in the summer?
You know, we're pretty lucky that the readers in Boston are very omnivorous. And so, you know, all through the year, we're selling, nonfiction, fiction, deliciously paced books, deeper, longer books. Although in the summer, yes, are people, grabbing, a mystery to throw into their bag as they, head off to, the vineyard? Absolutely. Overall, people buy so many different things. It's just wonderful.
All right. So it is time to go into recommendations, and let's actually start with local books, okay? Any recommendations by local authors or that are set in New England? Jen?
Definitely. I can't wait to talk about this book. It's a memoir by Grace Talusan. It's called The Body Papers. It's the winner of the Restless Books Prize for New Immigrant Writing. Grace is a local writer, and she's been publishing essays for years, and I always describe them as these like rich chocolates. And so you can read them in her memoir a bit at a time, or you can just kind of eat the whole box at the same time, one sitting.
That's tended to be my preference. How about you, Nick? What do you have for local?
You know, it's funny, the book that Jen just talked about, we had the launch for The Body Papers, and it is really, truly remarkable. It is, such a personal story. Profoundly painful. And I think that what Grace did really, bearing, her soul for us is remarkable. So that's funny that you immediately went to The Body Papers, because as far as local writers go, oh my gosh, that also is definitely right at the top of my list.
But not the one you picked. So what did you pick?
I had a list of books, but I did not have specific to Boston picks. And of course, I'm that terrible bookseller who, when put on the spot, I'm like, oh my gosh, Boston.
No problem, because I have one.
And me too.
So let me do mine. All right. So, and this is not a new book, but the book is Defending Jacob and it's a novel by William Landy. And the reason that I recommend it is twofold. One, they're shooting a series based on the book in our community. They were just in Newton Highlands actually a couple of weeks ago, and there's been shooting going on around the area. But two, it's about a murder that takes place in a middle school and the rending of the fabric of the family and the school community. And as we prepare to enter back into the school year, there's kind of a relevance to that that I think is interesting. We've got some callers, though, so let's take some calls. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Anne from Ashland, what do you got on your list?
Well, I think the best thing I read all summer was The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead. Thought it was fantastic. Wonderful story of friendship and love and sacrifice.
Why did it stand out? Of everything you read this summer, why did it stand out?
Just because it was so compelling. It's the story, it's the fictionalized story of the juvenile jail that was in Florida where they found so many bodies after the juvenile detention center closed. They found, you know, unmarked graves of hundreds of young men, and this is a fictionalized version of that story. So it's really compelling, and the main character in it is just wonderful.
That's great, Anne. Thanks for the call and the recommendation. Let's take one more. Ryan from Framingham, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is Warriors by Erin Hunter. It was a very suspenseful book, and the plot was pretty exciting. It didn't take long to get into the, like, main part of the book, and that's why I really liked it, because some books take like a while to get into the main good part of the book, and that's why I enjoyed it so much.
Ryan, we love young listeners. How old are you?
I am 12 years old.
And did you read this book like a little bit at a time, or did you just kind of eat it all at once like a big box of chocolates?
I kind of just ate it all at once.
Awesome. Ryan, thanks so much for your call. That was just great. Before we go off local books, one of our producers, Jamie Bologna, also wanted to offer up a local pick called Leading Men by Boston's Christopher Castellani. He says it fills in the gaps of history by reimagining the love between playwright Tennessee Williams and his lover Frank Merlo. They met in Provincetown in the late 1940s. They continued a relationship until the early 60s. Jen, you're nodding. Is this a book that you know?
Yes. In fact, Chris Castellani is a dear friend, and I'm in a writing group with him and with Grace Talusan. So I'm thrilled to be able to champion that book even more.
All right. So, Nick, let's talk fiction more broadly. Why do you think fiction is the most popular genre during the summer?
You know, I think it's just an easy escape. You know, I mean, the news always can be horrific, but I feel like, you know, especially in 2019, you can't turn around with, you know, social media and not be faced with the latest horror show. And I think that people need a release. And so sometimes it's easier to pick up a book that is a fictionalized account of people who have been made up, but that you learn, you know, to know as if they were real people. And you just, you know, want to turn off. And fiction really just allows, you know, a window into, you know, a better place sometimes.
So what's the best book on your list, fiction-wise, to turn off with this weekend on this long Labor Day?
I mean, you know, Nickel Boys, I have to say, also like The Caller, that is, you know, truly amazing. There's, you know, a great line in it that Whitehead writes that, you know, the boys that he's talking about never figured out how to be normal because of the horrors that were inflicted on them. So that book is terrific. But there's, you know, I mean, the Leading Men is great for, you know, local. Also, Bunny is by a, you know, local author, Mona Awad. It is truly amazing. It's a story of prep school and a writing program, and she can very easily have fallen into just throwing darts at people that are stereotypically, you know, in college and learning how to write, and instead she just brings a depth to it. But it's absolutely laugh out loud funny. So Bunny is just terrific.
Excellent. So our lines are full. So let's take some calls for 1-800-423-8255. Doug from Boxford, what's your recommendation?
Yes, hi. I'd like to strongly recommend a thriller, a different type of genre, called In the Mist of the Sea by a local artist, John Fedrick McCarthy. It's a book which takes place in Martha's Vineyard, which makes it even more exciting, both in the present and also in the past. And it's such a haunting thriller, I actually have been thinking about it on almost a daily basis since I've read it. But it's very well crafted and keeps your interest going tremendously.
That's
great summer read.
That's fantastic, Doug. I love the haunting stuff that kind of lurks over you for days afterward. Let's take one more call right now. Gloria from Cambridge, what's your recommendations? People are going to read one book this weekend. You say they should read...
Absolutely. Lewis Terkel's The Good War, written about 50 years ago about that war.
About... And When you say that war, do you mean
World War II?
Yeah.
World War II.
Yeah.
That's why it was called The Good War, because that's an oxymoron, and that's how he meant it. But it was so amazing, because he remember when he wrote Working, and you thought, what could be more boring, saying, hi, tell me about your job. The opposite.
All right.
And that's what this book was like. Everybody from a grunt to the Andrew sisters who were in that war, and I don't know how the heck we won it, but we did.
Well, that's a great recommendation, Gloria. Thanks. And Jen, let me come back to you. Did you bring in a fiction book you wanted to recommend for the listeners?
I do. I'm really torn because I have a couple, so I will just mention one that is kind of an escape novel. It's called The Stationery Shop by Marjan Kamali, and it's been described as the notebook in Iran. So it's a love story, and it's got an amazing premise. This young couple, they meet in a stationery shop, and they want to build their life together, so they agree to meet one night in the park, and that night the coup starts in Iran. And so what happens is he doesn't show. And 50 years pass where she doesn't know what happened. And fate has it so that she finds him in a nursing home all these years later. And the book opens that way where she asks him, what happened to you? Why didn't you come?
Oh my God, you said he doesn't show. And my heart sang. It's like I'm already reading the book. I'm like,
yeah.
No, he
right.
asked.
Yeah, how can you not read that book to the end?
Yeah.
But one that I am devouring right now, I'm reading it for the second time. It's called Where We Come From by Oscar Casares. He is from Texas. And this novel tells a story of a woman in Brownsville, so on the U.S.-Mexico border, and she is hiding migrants in her backyard in a shed, and one of the boys gets left behind.
Oh.
So the coyotes leave, and there's an 11-year-old boy in there who's left behind. And, I mean, it's very intense and timely and dark and important, but it's also a really funny book and one that I just am so fascinated and impressed by the dialogue, because you have characters speaking in Spanish to each other, but the text is in English.
Mm-hmm.
And the author acknowledges the cadence of the rhythm of the language of Spanish. And I've never seen that done so well. And I'm so impressed. I can't wait to teach this book and just give it to everybody I know. So don't be afraid of the dark subject. It's an amazing novel.
So I'm going to throw in kind of a clever book called Mostly Dead Things by Kristen Arnett. It was her debut book. We spoke to her on Radio Boston this summer. I'm going to let her give the elevator pitch for the book.
Lesbian taxidermist in Central Florida takes over her family's taxidermy business after her father commits suicide in the taxidermy shop.
Swear to God, that's what the book is about. Wow. Nick, you're laughing. Is it?
Well, we
it's
had
funny,
her
you know
at the Booksmith for an event, and she is just charming and funny, and the book is delightful and just exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's take some calls. Jane from Gloucester, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. I want to recommend a book by an author who actually also happens to be from Gloucester. It's the novel's called The Mercy Seat by Elizabeth H. Winthrop. And it's about the traveling electric chair in Louisiana in 1943. And it's a novel.
Hmm.
And I just haven't been able to stop thinking about it since I read it, and particularly because even though it takes place in 1943, I think it brings up a lot of issues that are still relevant today in terms of race and capital punishment.
That's a really profound thought. I mean, it seems kind of haunting. When did you read it, Jane?
I actually read it it came out, I think, in 2018, but I didn't read it until this summer when it was out in paperback.
Yeah, I think I was asking because you were saying it, you know, it really stayed with you. Has this been weeks? Has it been days?
No, I read it kind of in the very beginning of the summer, and I've just been giving it to everyone, like everyone I know. So
awesome. That's a good friend who does that. All right, let's take another call. Ren from Hyde Park. Go ahead, Ren.
Hi. I'll try to be brief. I am actually going through my second reread right now of a book called Conspiracy of Truths by a local non-binary author named Alexandra Rowland. It actually came out last October, but I'm re-listening to the audiobook right now because the sequel is coming out in 2 weeks. It is a fantasy novel, but it is very smart and very funny, and it is about like the power of myth and fake news. It's just very smart and very funny. I really love it.
Excellent. Well, anytime somebody says this, I'm on my second time, you know it's something that really registered with them. We'll take one more. Catherine from Grafton, what's your recommendation?
Hey, I'd like to recommend another book by a local author. There's two in this series. The first one is called Little Comfort, and the second one just out this week is called The Missing Ones. And I had to stay up late both times to finish both of them. The star is a 4'9¾" librarian named Hester Thursby, and the author is Edwin Hill. They're fabulous end of summer books.
I love her already, Catherine. Thanks for that call. All right, so Nick, we've had a lot of fun with, you know, fiction, with local books. We did start this with me talking about my great intentions with those big nonfiction tomes that were sitting on my desk. Is there a nonfiction read that you would recommend for a reader who wants to sink their teeth in, but also kind of get lost in the subjects over this Labor Day weekend?
You know, there are a couple. One, The Ghosts of Eden Park by Karen Abbott, and Three Women by Lisa Tadeo. Ghosts of Eden Park is fabulous. It's about a bootlegger in the 20s that you haven't heard about, George Remus, but it's wonderful. It has everything that I want in a summer read. It's got whiskey, sex, and a loaded gun. And so
I love it.
Totally in. So that book is just terrific.
I just want to mark this. This is our new standard for summer reading. It has to have whiskey, sex, and a loaded gun. Let's
How
be
can
clear.
You go wrong? Cannot.
Looks like you were going to give us one other.
Three Women by Lisa Tadeo. Is an incredible journalistic feat. She spent almost 10 years with three different women exploring desire, because we all kind of accept that men desire ferociously, but if a woman dares to do that, suddenly, you know, society is going to shame her. So this book, I think, delves into the lives of three very, very different women. And I think hopefully, you know, peels back that mask a little bit so that we're not so judgmental. But both of those books are great.
1-800-423-8255. We've got time for a couple more calls. Let's take one. Jason from Malden, what do you recommend?
Hey, how are you today?
Good,
I'm calling. Awesome. So I'm calling. I'm in the middle of directing a show regarding Edgar Allan Poe in Saugus, Mass. And while I'm researching it, I'm realizing I haven't gone to any of his short stories or poetry since I was in school. And the more that I delve into it as an adult, I'm like, wow, what an amazing opportunity as adults to go back and revisit some of these macabre type stories that as an adult are just riveting. So that would be my recommendation. Definitely, if you're trying to get into the fall spirit, you know,
get a jump on Halloween.
Like I said, yes. I'm just blown away as an adult how timeless these short stories are. You know, they're sort of not mentioned in time, so they're relevant always.
That's a great recommendation. Thanks for that, Jason. Okay, so Jen, are there any books or authors that have really surprised you in particular this season, or that you think, hey, these books have not gotten the attention that they deserve?
That's a great question. I think my response to that would be that sometimes adults think they can't read YA because they're not teenagers, and that's it couldn't be further from the truth. I love reading YA. I write YA, and
I kind of love YA.
I love teenagers.
I love YA.
Yes, we were just talking about that. And so there's a book that I feel hasn't gotten such great attention, or it has, but it could always get more. It's a book, a YA novel called Barely Missing Everything. It's by Matt Mendez, and So this book is YA. It's told in three points of view by three teenagers who are living in El Paso, Texas. And so it's not the El Paso we know in the news right now. And what I like about that is that it's not specifically and directly engaging with recent current events. This book was published this year, but it was written probably then at least a couple of years ago. It's about three teens with three very specific desires, and they go on a road trip to try and get what they want. One wants to reunite with his father, who's in prison. One is a pregnant teenager. She's trying to figure out what to do. And one wants to be a famous film director. So the three of them jump in a car and they're trying to help each other reach these goals. And I just love it because it's like cracking a window open, as we were talking about, into a city that is part of the United States, but many people might just see on the news. And it's horrific, everything that happened, but there's also other parts to El Paso, and this book is a great entry into that.
Nick, anything you want to add from the didn't get the attention it deserved?
You know, there's a new book called The Tenth Muse by Catherine Chung, which I think is absolutely amazing. The main character, also Catherine, both a K, is closer to her death than her birth, and so she's kind of looking back on her life. She's a mathematician. Her career started in MIT in the 60s, when, of course, a woman in any of the sciences was a rarity, was often dismissed. But then suddenly thrown into that is questions about her parentage. Was her Chinese mother her mother? Was her white father really her father? It's terrific.
That sounds fascinating. That is Nick Petrolakis. He's the assistant manager of Brookline Booksmith. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And Jennifer DeLeon, she edited the anthology Wise Latinas, Writers on Higher Education. She's an English professor at Framingham State and a writing instructor at Grub Street. Jennifer, thanks.
Thank you.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. We're Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.